Good morning, good morning, good morning, family. Okay, so happy is a feeling. Joy is a choice. Joyous Mother's Day, ladies, to you if you're a mother. I really like that word joy because it gives us the opportunity to either yeah or no. You know what I mean? And I want to say yes to being joyous no matter what state I'm in. So we're going to enter into worship with the Lord, and we are going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're going to worship Him with a joyous heart, even if we don't feel like it. So if you would stand with me, I always say this, I want it to be as if it's the last time I worshiped, but it's just, that's how I feel, as if this is the last time. Let it be worthy of my King. Yes, Lord. I mean, I'm telling you, if we may not agree with everything King Charles does, but if King Charles walked in the door, we'd all be like, oh, and just be gasping at him because he's royal. How much more royal is Jesus? And he's within us, yes? So, Father, this morning we just lift ourselves to you. We pray, God, that you would help us to recognize the honor and the blessing that we have of getting to worship you with our whole hearts, with our whole minds, with everything that we have, as if it were the last time. So, God, I just pray that you would be blessed with our worship, blessed with our praise, and Father, that you, as you watch and you enter in even with us, God, that you, Lord, are glorified. We thank you for this opportunity. We just pray blessings on today, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Your holy name, the sun. I heard a voice as it all Your heart.
Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Lord, your love is alive, Lord. Your love is alive in us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise your name, Lord. We worship you, God. You're worthy, Lord, of worship, adoration. Set our hearts on you, Lord. Set our hearts on you. Thank you, Lord, that we are beloved, Lord. You love us, Lord. You love us, Lord, with an everlasting love, Lord. You've always loved us, Lord. Even when we didn't love you, Lord, you loved us, Lord. You loved us, Lord. You loved us, Lord, when you were on the cross, Lord. You loved us, Lord, when we were yelling at you and rejecting you, Lord. You've never stopped loving us. Thank you for demonstrating your love, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you don't give yourself in pieces to us, Lord. This one gets a little bit of you. That one gets a little bit of you. Lord, we get all of you. All of us get all of you, Lord. We get all of your love, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. You hold nothing back, Lord, from us. You gave it all, Lord, and you give it all now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do it one more time. Oh, the one who loves me best.
Chain of Father's
Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for your mercies that are new every morning for us, God. It's a new day for us every single day, Lord. You give us a fresh new day, Lord, to live for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I have a verse I want to share, and this one is for everyone, but it's really specifically for the mothers today. This is the U version, verse of the day, so some of you have probably already read it, but it says, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." This is when Mary said, "Lord, be it as to me, as to your word, as you've spoken, let it be to me." And because of that faith and that confidence she had in what the angel told her, she conceived the Lord of Lords. She became the mother of our Savior. So I want to encourage all the mothers to come up here for a moment. We're going to pray for you today. No? No, it's good. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Don't be shy. Want to honor you. Thank you for your service and your commitment, the late nights, the crying over your children, all the things that you do as a mother that a lot of people don't see, just the Lord sees. So if you would, with me, let's extend our hands towards the mothers and let's just bless them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these moms, Lord. Thank you, God, that they have been there, Lord, when others weren't, Lord, that they were praying for us, Lord. They were encouraging us, Lord. They were bringing ointments and putting it on our chest, whatever we needed, Lord, when everybody else sometimes was sleeping in the house, Lord. They were there, Lord. And Lord, that's the love of a mother, that maternal heart that you've given them, Lord. And Lord, as that scripture said, Lord, as they believed, Lord, let it be done for them, Lord. As they believed, Lord, you working in their children, you working in their families, Lord, you working in their own lives, Lord, let it be done to them, Lord. We speak blessing and life over mothers right now. Every single one of these women, Lord, we speak your life, your blessing, Lord. We speak, Lord, your truth to be imparted to their hearts afresh, like in a new, in this day, Lord, that you would speak Holy Spirit to them and you would comfort them, you would encourage them, Lord, you would draw them to yourself and help them become, Lord, even more of who you want them to be. And we just thank you for them, Lord. Thank you, God, that you have given us mothers, Lord, and that is part of the kingdom of God, and we thank you for that. And we just ask you to continue to enrich their hearts and their lives this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So there is a nice and beautiful background that mothers can take pictures with their kids. I believe that was Angela and Gina that helped with that. Thank you, guys. And there's also mugs out there that you guys can take just to bless you guys and just so that you can just enjoy this day with your family. Do you have anything else? Okay. Praise the Lord. Now that I get you up here, Mom, Mom's asked for prayer for her and Stan. They're going to be gone for six weeks. And they're going to be driving on the roads with the crazy drivers that are out there. Bless you guys. You guys can go where and make sure that you take pictures with your family. Lord, we just pray your covering, your blessing, Lord, over them, Father, as they drive. We pray, God, that you would protect them and keep them safe, Lord. Keep them alert, Lord. And, Father, we pray that this would be a rich time of drawing closer to you, Lord, that they would be blessed, Lord, with meeting family and spending time with family, Lord, and that there would just be a richness of your presence that would go with them. We just bless them now in Jesus' mighty name. Give them traveling mercies, angels of protection, and just allow their hearts, Lord, to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
All right, praise the Lord. Greeting everyone, and make sure that the mothers get their cups.
All right, good morning, guys. Good morning. Let's get ready to do our declaration, please. Wow, so many people here today. It's great to see everybody. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Mother's Day for all the mothers out there. Thank you guys for all you do. You're appreciated, and we love you. So let's go on ahead and get this declaration going. Go ahead and go to that first slide, please. Okay, we're going to say this on three in unison. One, two, three.
Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen.
So, Lord, we just thank you so much for this day, this amazing time that we get to celebrate all the mothers out there. And I just pray that as we go throughout this service that we would just glorify you through everything that we say and everything that we do. And so we just thank you so much for this time that we get to gather together. We pray that you would bless it. So we thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we just have a few announcements. Our regular between the Sundays, we have youth on Sunday nights. Not tonight, because it is Mother's Day, after all. But every Sunday we meet here at the church, and it's been a great time seeing God move in the young people of our church. And so I know we don't, you know, we have some young people represented here, but this is just a small percentage of the youth that we have coming on Sunday nights. And so really exciting stuff. Continue praying for us. Continue believing with us. And if you know young people or see, you know, encounter a young person, let them know we're here Sunday nights at 6:30. And then we have two small groups that meet on Zoom. We have a ladies' small group every Tuesday. You can connect with Pastor Gay. That's her phone number. And then a men's group on Wednesday, and that's Pastor Mike's number. You can connect with them, and they go deeper in the Word. It's about an hour long. Yep, mm-hmm. An hour long. And, they go deeper. So if you're looking for a place to connect, go ahead and connect there. And then last is giving. Thank you guys for just continuing to sow into the house and giving and believing that God is going to move mightily in our church through your finances. And so we appreciate every penny that goes into this place. It does not go unnoticed, and it continues to allow us to expand the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. So I was doing a 1 year Bible reading. I think I've talked about it before, and it is kind of in a sequential order in the Bible. So it you don't necessarily read all of like Isaiah. You don't necessarily read all the Kings. It kind of just puts them together as the parts go together, which has kind of been really neat. And so on one of these mornings, I was doing our reading, and I have chosen to read in the ESV version because it's one of the versions that reads to you. And I like it when the Bible is being read to me as I read, because it just seems that I can comprehend more. And that if I'm driving, I can also listen to it that way. So I was reading this verse, and it actually was verses.
And you know how sometimes when you're reading, especially like stories, and you've like heard the story before, and you're kind of like, you know, you're reading it, but you're kind of saying, I know what it says. And so you're kind of like in it, but you're not really in it. And then all of a sudden, maybe you could read something, and it like pops up at you. And this is what happened on that day. So today, because of this, we're going to call this firm faith. Firm faith. And so I'm going to bless you with a little bit of the reading that I had that morning. And this comes from Isaiah chapter 7, and it's verses 1 through 14. So in the day of Ahaz, son of Jotham, now just so that you guys know who Ahaz is, anybody heard of Hezekiah? A lot of people heard of Hezekiah, great king, sought after the Lord. I mean, he had some mighty things happen in his life. There was a point where he was going to die, and he prayed towards the wall, and even before the prophet was even like out of the, who brought the word out of his, basically his hearing almost, he was told, turn around, this guy's heart is right, and was able to have him be restored. So this is his dad. And this Ahaz's note, it's interesting that he has this name Ahaz, because it reminds me of kind of Ahab. And so it says that Ahaz was a wicked king. He reigned for 16 years, and he did, like the kings of Israel, if you know anything about the kings of Israel, the 10 tribes, they really never served the Lord like he wanted them to. So this is the one we're talking about here. So in the day of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not yet mount an attack against it. So what we have is these two kings, one from Syria, and then one from the northern tribe of Israel, and they're getting ready to attack him. It says, when the house of David was told Syria is in the league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. So they're scared. They're really scared. And the Lord said to Isaiah, go out to meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Jashub, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field. And say to him, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands at the fierce anger of Rezin in Syria and the son of Remaliah. So Isaiah is bringing this wicked king basically news that don't worry about these guys. Don't let their threats get to you. He's literally saying, be quiet. In other words, don't sit there and keep talking about this. Just, I'm going to do something here. Because of Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. So this was going to be the son of the king of the Israel, the 10 tribes, and they were going to set him up in Judah. So basically, they were going to overthrow the Judah and the Jerusalem. They were going to put a new king in there. Then it says, thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand and it shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. And then this is what just jumped out the page. I don't know how many times I've read this, but I don't know if it's this version or whatever it was, but it was this statement. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. Wow. That is a powerful statement. That was directly from Isaiah to the king, letting him know, listen, if you're not firm in the faith, you're not going to be firm at all. Now, I'll finish it here, and then I'll kind of tell you based upon the account in Chronicles and in Kings what really happens. But it says, again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask a sign of the Lord, your God. Let it be deep as Sheol and as high as the heaven. In other words, if you want to know this is true, ask for a sign. I'm going to take care of this for you. You don't have to do a thing. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. So he got all religious. And he said, hear then, O Israel. This is now Isaiah responding back. And he said, hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So it's amazing that promise of Messiah comes when the king doesn't want to see a sign about being delivered from his enemies. So what Ahaz ends up doing, he ends up calling to Assyria and saying, hey, Assyria, it doesn't go with God's plan. Hey, Assyria, would you please, I'm going to pay you, would you please come and take care of these two for me? And he does. But what ends up happening later on is Assyria ends up plundering Judah and causing them to basically be in a world of hurt. He didn't listen to God. He wasn't firm in the faith, so he was not firm at all. So today, again, Siri jumped up there for whatever reason. Huh?
Syria.
That's what it was, Syria, yep. So, and the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in the faith, you will not be firm at all. So as I like to do, let's take a look at this in a few different translations to see really what's being said here. It's very interesting because this word firm is like the word belief or foundation. It's almost saying like if you're not a believer, then you're not going to believe, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. It's like using the same word twice. Hebrew has a way of doing that kind of stuff. But the NET says it this way, if your faith does not remain firm, then you will not remain secure. So I don't think this is just for King Ahaz. I think this word is for us. If our faith is not firm, if it doesn't remain firm, if we let it get wishy-washy, if we don't continue to do the things we need to do in our life to remain strong in Christ, then we're not going to remain secure. Then KJV, the New King James says it this way, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. So in other words, there needs to be a belief for us to be established. And what does established mean? I believe that means secure, means strong, means in a firm foundation. The complete Jewish Bible says it this way, without firm faith, you will not be firmly established. So it's bringing this idea that the faith needs to be firm to be firmly established. The NASB, the New American Standard Bible, says, if you will not believe, you certainly shall not last. Then last but not least, the New Living Translation says, unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. So if we don't have a strong faith, we're not going to last. And if we don't have a strong faith, God can't even make us stand firm as much as he wants to. This is one of those deals, again, where this is on us, folks. This is how we choose to move forward in our belief system and our trust for God. So this word firm that we're using in Isaiah is the word aman. It's kind of like amen, but aman. And it means a verb meaning to be firm, to build up, to support, to nurture, or to establish. The primary meaning, though, is that providing a stability and a confidence, like a baby would find in the arms of a parent. I love that. You know, because if you think about it, you know, when a baby's in a parent's arms, they just fall asleep because there's just something about that security. And that's the kind of security that is available for us in God, is if we're just in his arms and he's caring for us. If we're firm in the faith. That's the key. To be like a baby in God's arms, we have to be firm in the faith. We have to trust that he's not going to drop us like the baby does. In the Greek, which we'll see this word used a few times, the word is asterios, and it means strong, firm, immovable, solid, hard, or rigid. In a bad sense, it means cruel, stiff, stubborn, or hard. In a good sense, firm or steadfast. So we looked in this idea in this Old Testament, this idea of if you're not firm in the faith, you're not firm at all. So is there something like this in the New Testament? I'm here to tell you good news. Yes, there is. If we look at 1 Corinthians 16:13, we have this admonition from Paul. It says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." So this is kind of like one of those where he says, you know, pray without ceasing, always be thankful. But he's telling them to be on guard in the New Living Translation, stand firm in the faith and be courageous and be strong. This kind of reminds me of Joshua when he's become the new leader of Israel. And God tells him, hey, don't let the words of this law depart from your eyes or from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night that you'll be faithful and diligent to do everything that's in it. And if you do, you're going to find your way prosperous. You're going to have great success. But then he says to him, be strong, be brave, and be courageous. Well, the first part was he had to keep those things in his heart. You know, it's hard to be strong and be courageous in these days if we're not in God. There's a lot of reasons to be fearful and afraid. And I talk to people like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Is anybody aware about the whole, you know, I guess you could call it the sun doing its CMEs towards us? Those are basically magnetic shots that are fired at us from its solar flares. Anybody aware what's happened this weekend? Basically, we have gotten to a place where there was a 12% chance of what's called a kill shot. You know what that is? That means there'd be no electricity. Yeah. Most people don't even know about it. Because what happened was it sent flares and then flares and then flares. There were like 3 or 4 sets of flares that came at us. Not trying to make you worried or afraid, but I'm just saying we live in odd days. So we need to be on guard. We need to stand firm in the faith. We need to be courageous. We need to be strong. When I saw that, and this is from a guy who's very knowledgeable. He's been studying for 15 years just the sun and its effect on all our planets. If you guys want to check it out, you can see it's happening all over the solar system. All of the planets are doing weird things with their magnetic fields. So what does this mean for us? That's what I was saying. Lord, okay, if that happens, so what do I do? It's like there's no power. So what would I do? Where would I go? I thought about it for a couple of days. And then, you know, this morning I thought, you know what I'd have to do? I'd have to reach people. That's what I'd have to do. Not about surviving. It's about helping others survive the loss of their eternity. That's what finally came to me. I don't know if you'd be in agreement, but that's what came to me. I mean, yeah, you could probably survive if you had a stash of food for a while, but eventually you're going to have to either go outside or, you know, start you know, foraging in the forest. In the meantime, people are not hearing the good news. So hopefully we would be people that in those days say, you know what, I'm going to make sure people know the true survival. Yeah. Amen? Anyway, keep your eyes open. This is the message. Hold tight to your convictions. Give it all you've got. Be resolute. I like that. Keep your eyes open. In other words, don't be just like, you know, walking around and not paying attention. I mean, sometimes I drive and, you know, in my mind, I'm talking to somebody and I've turned a corner or I've turned a light and I'm going like, I know my subconscious, unconscious was working there, but I wasn't like, there must not have been traffic coming. Anybody else ever do this? Must not have been traffic coming because I turned, but it's like I was really focused on this conversation. And I'm saying, thank you, Jesus, for your grace, and thank you for creating me that I can do more than one thing at a time. Gay would not attest to that, but evidently I can. But keep your eyes open. Be aware of your surroundings. Hold tight to your convictions. You know what it means to hold tight your convictions? You have to have convictions to hold tight to them. You have to have truths that you believe are life and death truths for you to hold on to them. And we have those, family. Give it all you've got. Be resolute. And then the Passion Translation, I really like this. Remember to stay alert and hold firmly to all that you believe. Be mighty and full of courage. Be mighty and full of courage. 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9 says it this way. Very similar, but this is like talking about our mindset. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. We have an adversary, folks. We do. We have someone or something, an entity that wants to steal, kill, and destroy what God wants to do in our lives, in our families' lives, in our walk with God. And so we need to be sober-minded, We need to be watchful and understand that we do have an enemy. But then it says, resist him firm in your faith. Firm in your faith. You know what? If we're firm in our faith, we will be firm in everything, I believe. We'll be firm in our job. We'll be firm in activities with our family and communications with our family. We'll be firm in our confidence of what tomorrow's going to bring, whether that what the reports are or not. When I heard that, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't fret and worry. So I said, you know what? My life is in God's hands. So I had firm faith in my God. So I was firm in whatever tomorrow would bring, whether it was the kill shot or not. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
That's good. Knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So Christians all over the earth have to come to the realization that they need to be firm in their faith. They need to be sober-minded. They need to be watchful. And in some places, their faith is being tested much different than ours. Our faith is being tested because we're overwhelmed and inundated with distractions all the time. Their faith is being tested, some of them, that they either deny God or give up their life. Now, theirs sounds much worse, but they might be looking at us and saying, wow, you have it much worse than I do. At least I have God so in my heart that I'm ready to die for him. You don't even hardly realize he exists. We had some friends, dear friends that we developed over years ago when we were at Church on the Move, and they were from Kenya, Africa. And they were missionaries to the United States. Lois and Paris. Haven't seen Paris forever. But they would pray for us, and they would weep for the United States because it's like they'd see us like take all this medicine. One of them actually was laying in the hospital in Kenya, and the doctors couldn't do a thing. And they just had to believe that they were going to get up off their bed. That they had to receive the physician, Jesus Christ, and he was able to heal them, and he did, and they ended up being here as a missionary. But my point being is that we do have our own fight, and the fight is how do we finally give up our attentions to the Lord instead of everything else could possibly distract us. And it's not just distracting us. It literally is invading our time. It's meant to take us into places that will captivate us for hours and keep us from thinking about God or someone else. Yeah. The Amplified in verse 9 says it this way, withstand him, be firm in faith. And this means against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. Wow. That sounds pretty resolute to me, doesn't it, you? Strong, immovable, and determined. Do you think God would encourage us to do this if it wasn't possible? I don't think he would. I don't think he'd be challenging us this way. If it's like, hey, I'm going to tell you something that's impossible for you to do, so you'll always feel miserable. No, I believe because of Christ living in us and the Holy Spirit, that these things are possible for us, that we can be firmly established in the faith and firm in our walk with him. Knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. Good. All right, Colossians 1, 21 through 23. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Praise God. That we were once enemies. And you notice where we were enemies with God? It wasn't like with, you know, enemies with God like we were on some kind of battlefield. It was our mind. It was our thoughts. It was our heart. And it says, because of our wicked works, it basically clouded us, and we had no way of knowing truth. Yet he has reconciled. He has now reconciled us in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. So I want all of us to realize that in God's sight, because of Christ, we are now holy We are now blameless. What does that mean? It means we're not, nothing is being accounted to us for wrongs that we have done. And we're above reproach in his sight. That's crazy when you think about it. When you think about our behavior, when you think about what we do during the day, what we say during the day, how we behave sometimes, it does not look like we're holy. It does not look like we're blameless. And it does not look like we're above reproach in his sight. But we are. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that we identify with and now become new creations and now become clothed in his righteousness, which makes us holy, blameless, and above reproach. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. And then he says this, though, if indeed, in other words, he put a little bit of a disclaimer here, if indeed you continue in the faith grounded and steadfast. So some of you, when I was saying that, well, Pastor, I don't feel holy. I don't feel blameless. I don't feel above reproach. Well, then are we continuing in the faith? Is that causing us to not be grounded and steadfast? Is it that we're not staying firm in Christ? And because of that, we do feel unholy. We do feel like we are to be blamed for things. We do feel like we're not above reproach. So what is this saying? This is saying if we continue in the faith, and what is the faith? The faith is in Christ, his finished work. Yeah. The faith isn't faith in that you can do it in your own strength. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you can be holy, you can be blameless, you can be above reproach, but you have to be rooted and grounded in the one who makes us that way. So that means when the enemy comes and lies, well, you know, that behavior yesterday, that was not becoming you. And that definitely was not like a child of God. So you must not be in his camp right now. You say, no, in Jesus' name, that was bad behavior and I've repented from it. And so in Christ, I'm now holy, blameless. I'm blameless for that. That's under the blood now. And I'm above reproach. You tell him the truth because he's telling you a lie. He's saying your behavior is saying who you are. No, I'm saying his behavior on the cross is saying who I am. I'm not looking at my behavior. I'm looking at Christ's behavior. So if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to you every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Every creature under heaven has heard this. I don't know how that happens, but that's pretty crazy. Next time you talk to your dog and remind him, yeah, and you've heard the gospel too. So you should act better.
And quit shedding.
That would be our dog, yeah. Get behind me, shedding. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I hate that. Okay, Colossians 2:5. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. This is Paul communicating to Colossians. Even though he's not there with them, he rejoices because of the things he's heard, and he believes that they have a firmness in Christ. They have a firmness in their faith in Christ. So this is another just admonition for us to realize that this is possible. There were churches in his day that were doing it. There were some that weren't. He had to try to get them back on track. Maybe that's what I'm doing today, is trying to get us back on track. Yeah. Remind us of those things that are really important in life. And being firm in the faith, to me, sounds like it's pretty important, because you can't be firm in anything if you're not firm in the faith. Okay, so let's see. Let's see where this firmness comes from, because it's like, okay, Pastor, I want to be firm in the faith after you've said all this. And I know it must be possible, but I have no clue. How do I become firm in the faith? I'm glad you asked. A Song of Ascents. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. So if something can't be moved and abiding forever, does that sound firm? Yeah, does Mount Zion sound like it's an eternal thing? Yes, it is. It's not just a place in Israel. It's a place in God. It's the mountain of the Lord. And we who trust in him are like that. Wow. So to me, one of the steps, if you want to get some 1, 2, 3 steps, one of the steps of being firm in the faith is trusting in God. Simply trust him. Trust him for your day. Trust him for your workplace. Trust him for your life at school. Trust him for any area of your life. If you can learn to trust him, you're going to be firm. At least that's one step. So this is the other step. It's that the firmness isn't based on your ability. That you put your trust in God, and now God's firm foundation stands. See, if we were singing like, you don't give your heart in pieces. So what does that mean? That means that God is not up there taking some kind of, you know, divider, you know, one of those little paper cutters, and okay, you get this piece, you get this piece, you get this piece, and dividing his heart among us so that we can all have the heart of God.
Yeah.
But it's a little piece.
Yeah.
No, somehow, some way, supernaturally, makes no sense in the natural. You have all of God. Yeah. You have all of it's like Oprah Wimpy. You get a car, you get a, you have all of God, you have all of, we all have all of God. How do we get that? It's better than getting a car. We all have all of God. Right? Every single one of us. There's no one lacking. Well, what about if I don't feel it? That doesn't matter. Feelings has nothing to do with this. This is faith. This is believing in things that we do not see. This is believing in things that have been spoken by God in the heavenlies, and we appropriate and say, okay, if you said it, I'm going to believe it. That settles it. That's what it means. And as we do this, we realize we have the fullness of God. What does that mean? Well, if all of God is in me, then his firm foundation is standing in me. It's not just God's foundation. It's not mine, because he's in me. Jesse was teaching one time at one of our Transformed, and he said, you know, I was studying this, and it says that the Holy Spirit is God, and God is love. Because I think he was teaching on something about love. He probably doesn't remember it. He's like, I have no clue. But he ended up saying, like, well, if we have the Holy Spirit, we have God, then we have love.
Wow.
Yeah. That's why I say the fruit of the Spirit isn't something you grope for. The fruit of the Spirit is something you manifest. In other words, it's something that starts to appear in your life because it's already there.
Yes.
You have love.
Yes.
You have peace. You have joy. You have patience. You have kindness. You have goodness. You have gentleness. You have faithfulness. You have self-control. Next time you're debating whether you should do something, no, I have self-control. It's not that I have to get it. No, I have it because I have God. I have his firm foundation. Oh, I didn't finish that, did I? Bearing this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. That's the key. When we start knowing who he is, we start walking with him, start getting his love in our life, and we start having all of God in us, it's easy to depart from iniquity. You don't want iniquity. Because it's junk compared to the life of God. Matthew 7, 24 through 27. This is another step. So this is where we today as Christians need to realize that there's things that we can do to respond in a way that we can maintain this firm foundation. We can maintain this firmness in Christ. So Matthew 7, 24 through 27. I'm sure you've all heard it before. If not, listen. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. So what is a key here? Another step, doing what we hear.
Yeah.
It's so easy to just hear, especially in our Western culture church, hear on Sunday mornings, oh, that's a good word, and go and do nothing about it.
Wow.
Or read your daily devotion or whatever it is and say, wow, that's a good word, but do we respond to it?
Yeah.
Do we apply faith to it? Do we say, I'm going to let this word change my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to let this word transform me and renew my mind and allow me to know the perfect will of God as I step forward. Because it had not, because it had been founded on the rock. And then everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. That is Ahaz. That's what he did. He was told by the prophet, listen, I got these dudes. These two jokers, they're done. Just ask me what I need to do to prove it to you, because I can tell your heart's not believing me right now. And he said, oh, no, I'm not going to put you to the test. That's what he said. And Isaiah said, you turkey. You're sitting here turning down God. I mean, you weary men, and now you're wearying God. This is not good, Ahaz. And then Ahaz went, and he, I'll take care of it. I got it. But later came back and really bit him. I bet when they beat those enemies, oh, I told him, I knew that was good. I didn't need God. I didn't need that. You know, for all we know, he didn't even believe in God. He just believed in all the gods that were Israel believed in. But he ends up not listening and not doing what he's being told. And what happens? He built his house on the sand. Assyria was the sand. And later on, the sand came up and destroyed his house. One final thing. James 1, 22 through 25. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. So that's a pretty radical illustration. That would mean that you go to the mirror, you look, you study your face, and most of us hopefully know what our face looks like. But it's as if you look at your face, study it. Okay, I know I got a pimple there. And you walk away and all of a sudden, what was that? I don't remember anything. That's what it's like when we don't do the word. It's as if we read the Bible, as if we studied the word, as if we sang songs on Sunday, as if we fellowshiped with people. And then we start living life and forget what we ever did. It's like it just flies away. Until it's put into practice, it doesn't manifest in our lives. They're just words. We used to teach what we called interns, and it was when we were church on the move, and I would teach the class. And before I would teach every time, and I think I do this most of the time when I teach discipleship classes, I say, Lord, let your words be revelation and not just information. Because usually revelation we act upon, hopefully. Information we just take in. This is not meant to be just taken in. This is not meant to be a spectator sport. This is get involved, roll up your sleeves, you know, be part of the work of the kingdom.
Yeah.
But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. How are we blessed? We become firm in the faith. Yeah. Now, it doesn't mean we're always perfect. There's times we waver, there's times we doubt, there's times we struggle, there's times, you know, that's part of life. But in the mainstay of our life, we need to be firm in the faith. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We need to put on the whole armor of God. We learned what the whole armor of God is. It's Jesus, right? It's not just equipment that we put on, but it's literally Jesus that we put on. And when we do this, I believe, family, we will be firm in the faith. I believe we will be world changers. That we won't just be spectators. We won't just be people wringing our hands. Oh, what's going to happen tomorrow? We're going to say, no, we're going to help God's tomorrow come to earth. Because God has a will and a plan for tomorrow. We're going to help bring it by being obedient and by being faithful servants to the King. And being ones who have learned that he loves us, as we sang earlier. We are his beloved. He's bought us with his blood. And on his hands, he's written our names. Well, those nails might as well have been your name going on him. He loves us with an everlasting love. And because of that, I believe that all of us can start having a greater, firmer foundation to believe in and to walk in and to live in and to be secure in. But if we're not firm in the faith, folks, we won't be firm at all.
And together, church.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more bound, and I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never. So I will be
There's a key right there. He won't fail. But you got to put your trust in the fact that he won't fail you. You got to know that no matter what winds blow, if you've set your heart and your foundation as Christ, they're going to stay. You're going to stay. Your house is going to stay. Your life is going to stay. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. Lord, that you've got us. Even when all of hell is fighting against us, Lord, you've got us. Lord, we want to be ones who are firm in the faith. Help our hearts, Lord, to be firm in the faith. Help our hearts, Lord, to believe, Lord. So I was talking to someone this week. They said, you know what? There's lots of things you can do, all kinds of miracles and all that. I just want to believe. I just want to believe. I want to believe. And Alan Higgins said, I want a believing believer. Not just a believer, but a believing believer. That what you said, Lord, is true. That you are not a liar. You're not a man that should lie, Lord. You are not a liar, Lord. Your word is truth. And your word we can depend on. We can hand our faith on, Lord. We can hang everything in our lives upon you, Lord. Because your word is true. Lord, I just bless right now my family of faith, God. I bless them, Lord, with the ability to be firm in the faith. Help them, Lord, to receive your word, Lord, in their hearts, Lord, in such a way that they understand it, they can walk it out and do it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you again. Happy Mother's Day, all mothers. Bless you. Have a great day. And be kind to your mother, children. Amen. Oh, father comes up another time.